What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Bob, one thing you didn't mention in the opening, by the way, if you're watching on YouTube, you really should be, first of all, because we're being joined by Bob's bobblehead, a special camera on Bob. Look at it. Limits, you propped that up perfectly.
I mean, a great spot. You can see everything. Bob's name, Bob's full suit, the smile.
I mean, this is phenomenal.
So I got calls from everybody. I got Lewis Lips calling me up, and he goes to those games regularly, and he's not going to be around. Lots of other people, friends, and I'm going to try to do my best, but I also know that they have a limited supply, so what can you do, Joe?
You said Jay Caulfield. Who else wanted one?
Oh, I have a lot of people.
Name some people, Bob.
Well, these are friends you wouldn't know.
I don't care. They're still nice people. Name them.
Craig McConnell, our producer for Steeler Games.
Love that guy. Yeah.
He's a bunch of people at the station who you wouldn't know them specifically. A friend of mine, Bill Fontana. I know this is going to be interesting to try to satisfy a lot of people, but I'll try to do my best.
Well, I have one in hand, and if I catch that first ball, your pitch before the game, what do you call that? Ceremonial first pitch. It better be a strike, Bob. And I'm going outside
and
corner.
I have not thrown a baseball in a long time. Although, I used to do it well enough. I got to go back in time and try to recapture that.
We have a lot to talk about, Bob. That was the most exciting news by far. And congratulations again on that. That is so cool. Saturday night. Parking lots open at 3, gates open at 6, and the first 1,000 people get a Bob Pompiani bobblehead. Go to our YouTube page. It's so easy. Go through our website. Take you right there. You can subscribe. It doesn't cost anything to our YouTube channel. You can watch us every day. And today, the guest of honor sitting right between us, standing actually, is the Bob bobblehead. What's your favorite part of it, Bob?
It looks younger, which I appreciate. Yeah. I need to look younger, and that's one way of doing it.
And wasn't it nice of them to include a football?
Football and a baseball bat. Yeah, that's kind of what I've done for all these years. And I thought the pose was interesting, too.
Very relaxed pose, and it's a pose of come get me. I'm on the top of the heap here, and I ain't going anywhere anytime soon. No, it is, Bob.
But
look,
that wouldn't be me.
It's the legs crossed in a nice way.
In a nice way.
Yeah. In a nice way. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
I love it.
Teeth are whiter than they've ever been.
They look wonderful.
Yeah, nose is a little longer.
Little speck, spleck of gray, splack of gray, no, speck of gray.
No, they know to get rid of that.
Yeah, they did get rid of that. You look great. Would you have preferred a golf outfit? You're okay with the suit and tie?
No, this looks good. I didn't know what to expect. Like I said, nobody consulted me, and I was hopeful that somebody would, but you knew. You had access.
I knew
months
ago.
Did you choose the suit?
No. I had no say whatsoever other than I told Tony it looked great, and I picture you in a suit. If not a suit, golf stuff. They could have gone either way.
Yeah.
But when I think of you, I think of meeting you 30 years ago now, Bob?
At least.
Because I first started doing the showdown when I was the beat writer for the Penguins.
Yeah, at least.
And I remember the coolest show we ever did was on top of the CBS television building in New York City.
Yeah, New York City.
We went to the roof.
Yeah.
How could I forget?
That's when we were all covering things and going all over the place. And we were on the roof.
I know. I passed like people who are doing 60 Minutes and stuff like that. I'm like, is this really happening?
Wow, that goes way back now.
Yeah, and they had cameras on the roof for me. I think Mike Persuda. I forget who else did it with us.
Yeah, I remember that.
What a show that was.
You jogged my memory there. At the first, when you said that, I'm thinking, and then I remember exactly what we were doing. It was like, we were doing, was it Penguins hockey?
Penguins Devils series. Yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah, so Penguins we were all there, the so we did it on remote location, which was cool.
So cool. All right, we have a lot to get to. Instead of our Wednesday six-pack, the best way to do this is just that on a Tuesday. And I think we should be celebrating anyway with a six-pack here. Limit, start us off, would you please? Bob, lots of people reporting, well, Elliot Friedman first, that the Chicago-based Hoffman family, I thought they were Florida-based, but whatever, reportedly serious contender to buy the Penguins. So Mario and Burkle and company apparently have competition. Elliot Friedman reporting just that. They've emerged as a serious contender to purchase the Penguins from Fenway Sports Group. He also reported, Friedman did, that the potential sale price of this team is about $1.75
billion. Wow.
Which is right in the neighborhood of, double, of what Gary Bettman's demanding.
Right, but it's double what the Penguins sold it for.
So here's there's lots of tentacles to this story. This guy, David Hoffman, based in Naples, his sons run his company now. Bob, they own everything from newspapers to geraniums. I took a photo of something here that listed all their holdings. It's ridiculous. The diversity of things that they're in charge of.
So they're like an entrepreneurial family.
Coffee
and they're looking
shops.
To acquire a lot of things.
Greenhouses. Coffee
never,
shops.
Never a sports franchise, though.
Geranium. Yes, they have golf courses and they have the Florida Everglades or something, okay. Whatever minor league team
minor
that is.
League,
and
bro.
They win all the time. And Bob, if we get to know them, we could be playing free golf all over the place.
In Naples, a great place to go. Let's do it.
They're also going to build a golf course. Here's some of the stuff. He's worth $2 billion. David is, okay? Dolphin transportation specialists in Naples. Premier Transportation in Dallas, Texas. Napa Valley Publishing Company. Ooh. This guy's, he's purchasing a lot of media, a lot of
Does
newspapers.
Does he have wine? He must own a vineyard
That's
somewhere.
His newest thing.
Is
Him
it?
And his wife have vineyards, I forget where, Missouri? Napa Valley Publishing Company in Napa Valley, California. Viking Plastics in Cory, Pennsylvania. CTS Aspen in Aspen, Colorado. Engineering in Lowell, Michigan. A transit company in Mackinac Island, Michigan. A dairy in Illinois. Sip and Sail Cruises in Mackinac Island. I've never seen anything like this, Bob. They own anything and everything. They could own your bobbleheads before the end of the day. So what's your first reaction to this?
Well, my first reaction is the Fenway Sports Group wants to make as much money as they can, and they sense this is an opportunity. Maybe it was when they acquired the Penguins in the first place. Their goal was to sell it at some point and cash in on the valuation increase. And that's exactly what's happened here, I guess. I still would prefer, and if this is a, you know, the Burkle Lemieux group, if they're interested in doing this again, I don't know much other than what I've heard from different people. But if they are, I prefer it being that way because I think it's better with a guy like Mario Lemieux, who's so centrally involved in every aspect of this organization, from saving it once to saving it twice. I'd prefer that. But, you know, if someone's going to get it, I just hope they treat it as not just an investment, because I think the Fenway Sports Group, and I may be wrong about this, but it seems to me it's more of an investment than anything else. Getting, flipping, making money, moving on. They have a lot of assets. They have a lot of things they'd like to do. But I want to see somebody who's committed to make it win and stick around here for a while.
Bingo on all of that, Bob. And that's what I came in with today was I think I've gotten this wrong the way I've thought about Fenway Sports Group in the past. My thinking was, man, what a bunch of bumbling fools. They buy a franchise that's clearly on the decline. Sean Gentile pointed me in the right direction with this. And I know franchise valuations are soaring right now. But I'm starting to suspect, rather than why did these people buy into this? I'm suspecting what you just said. I'm starting to think this was the game for them all along. Come in, try to win, you know, at the end a little bit with the, you know, with these fading stars. And then before we get to the real decline of this franchise, get out and get almost $2 billion.
Yeah.
Fenway Sports Group didn't get to be who they are by making bad business decisions. And man, that kind of hurts in a way to at least wonder if they simply got into this to get out in a real hurry and make double their money. You know what I mean? But I think you're right about that.
I mean, I have no other way to look at it. Why would you be in the short term? If you're really into it to try to make the franchise better and guide it through some tough times, then you'd stick through this and see the end of that, knowing that the valuation is still going to go up.
Yeah.
But if you're doing it this quickly, it seems to me that it was a, you know, buy and sell kind of operation.
Now, this guy.
And that's fine. A lot of people do it. I'm not. They made a lot of money in their lives.
Is it fine, though, for them just to come in and mine the Penguins for the franchise price and then leave?
No, that's why I said I'd rather have Lemieux and Burkle and Morehouse and those guys do it because they have. It's really a passion for them, a labor of love. This is more acquisitions.
This is cold corporate right. acquisition
and
maneuvering.
From their point of view, if that's right. what they saw and that's what they're going to get, then they've succeeded.
Man, somebody else comes in to own this franchise, especially if David Morehouse gets his claws on this thing. I mean, what happens to the Kyle Dubas plan? What happens to everything? I wonder about that. And now it's going to be a Ron Burkle, David Hoffman photo finish. At least one could picture that, unless somebody else gets involved here. Two very, very, very rich men vying for control of this franchise.
And who stands to gain most? It's the Fenway Sports Group. If there's a bidding war
for
going
sure.
on, they're going to get
for
theirs.
Sure.
So
that's where we're at with the Penguins. Now, I know there's fears of moving the team. Do you share those?
No.
If it's an out-of-town buyer?
I think Gary Bettman will never listen to that. I think he knows Pittsburgh is a good hockey market.
I agree with
and
you.
And he will stand in the way of any of that.
I do tend to agree with you. Although, any time you bring in, of course, they had Mario and Ron Burkle, and they were going to sell. Right, Bob? If they didn't get a new arena, at least the threats
were
there.
I mean, those are part of negotiations, just as you see.
What if they called his bluff?
If they called his bluff, then maybe we would have seen something different.
So I don't know if you're free of that with hometown owners either. I don't know. All right, that is a developing story. Limits, please. Another one. Bob needs one. How about this Tommy Pham situation from last night, Bob? Did you catch this whole thing?
Yeah, I saw it. I know there was some lip reading going on. The catcher over there seemed to indicate to Tommy Pham that I'm not talking to you. He had his earpiece on. I don't know what happened with Tommy Pham, but he seemed to overreact to what was going on.
That's what I would say. Absolutely. I'm trying to look. I just had a quote in front of me. Was it the catcher? Was Heinemann the catcher, or who was Heinemann?
Yes, Heinemann's the catcher.
All right. He said it was weird, man. It was unprovoked and super weird. I don't even know him. No idea. Barely knows who he is. Yeah, Tyler Heinemann. That is a great quote. I'll say it again. It was weird, man. It was unprovoked and super weird. I don't even know him. No idea. Barely know who he is. It may have been the first bat flip I've ever seen, Limits, on a walk.
Yes.
I mean, it was incredible. And apparently, Pham took exception to Heinemann questioning a ball, saying it was a strike, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So here's Tommy Pham on Twitter. You ready for this, Bob?
Yes,
this is real, right, Limits? This is real?
Yes.
Has this been taken down?
So Tommy Pham has deleted his tweets, yes.
Okay, well, this was the first one. Bitching about a ball not being called a strike to the umpire when it's clearly below the zone and away is disrespectful not only to the umpire but the hitter as well. So like I said when I flipped the bat, blank him. And he used a complete word there, Bob, in his tweet. Dude has 2 years in the show. I know the zone. Is Keegan Mathison the umpire? Who are we talking about there?
See, that's where I was confused a little bit. Was he directing that at the umpire?
Keegan Mathison is the Blue Jays reporter that put out the quote of what Tyler Heinemann said about Tommy Pham.
And then someone named Ron Snow Mexico says, bro, you are a B word, and spelled it out. And Tommy Pham replies, things you wouldn't say to my face for $1,000.
That's still up. He didn't delete that one.
That's actually a good comeback.
Tell me what else is happening on social media, Limits. This seems to have great comical value.
Well, somebody tweeted that calls themselves Ham Barger that goes, I guess, to Barger for the Blue Jays. He tweeted, you're 37 acting like this on a non-playoff Pirates team. Just retire and start a family already, Tommy Tough Knuckles. And Tommy Pham responds, your profile pic is of someone who takes steroids, loser.
Oh, anything else? I got to hear more. I have to hear more.
Tommy Pham finds himself in situations like this everywhere he goes, though, doesn't he?
I mean, if you're the...
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Pirates and you're Bob Nutting and you have people, no matter what, using the F word in a tweet and stuff like that, given his history, lewd gesture to fans this year. Right. What's this guy's deal, Bob? What's going on with him? Didn't he punch somebody in the face? Yes, he did.
He just all
slapped him
up.
Over a fantasy football dispute a few years ago.
You can look at his face just last night, and you could tell
he was wound up.
Boiling point. You know?
He was boiling.
Yeah.
Joe, listen to this one. Mad Max, Max Scherzer, is going to put one on you, bro. Better watch the hell out. Tommy Pham says, bleep, me and Max was chopping it up yesterday during BP. Actually, he told me the Jays asked about me during the deadline, and he told them, go get me.
That's Tommy Pham's response.
That's what Tommy Pham said.
I love this. Bob, this is the best thing of the whole Pirates season. This is tremendous.
And then
go get me.
The tweeter at the Sabres are killing me again responds, your attitude is clearly the reason we decided you wouldn't work.
Tremendous. Bob, I have my new Buffalo Sabres shorts on, I might add, today. Golf shorts.
How many years in a row have the Sabres not made the playoffs?
A lot.
It's got to end.
Yeah, a lot.
Is this the season it's going to end?
The Miami Dolphins of the NFL. No, they stink. Should Tommy Pham, why didn't they trade him? And if you're Bob Nutting, aren't you sick of this guy?
I mean, I'm surprised. There was no reason to have him here. Again, to me, he's clogging a space for someone else who I'd rather get a look at a York, Cook, any of these guys, even though they're struggling.
Just DFA him and somebody else.
What are we
going
to gain? Unless they plan to sign him again, you know, why is he here?
I guess he's been hitting a lot lately.
He is, and I give him full credit.
Well, that's the worst thing for them right now.
He's turned his season around.
Is to win games. They might as well just lose the rest of their games and get a better draft pick again. He's turned his season around. He's still batting .260 with six home runs.
But .260 represents one of the best. Mantle. One of the best averages on the team.
I know. He stinks, and
he had a lot to do with their start.
Yeah, he buried their season. Is what they did.
Forget.
And by the way, he's batting .196 in August. So let's all cool the jets on Tommy Pham. Let's not forget how he buried the season by hitting .118 in March in those five games. By hitting .182 with no home runs in April, and then he started to hit at some point in May, and he carried that into his credit, I guess, in June and July, and now he stinks again in August. So we have another bad player hitting .260 with six home runs and a .702 OPS who flips his bat after he gets a walk, makes a lewd gesture to a fan earlier this season. What are we doing, Bob? And he's 37 years old.
That's the thing.
And I'm gonna rip you two because 2 weeks ago we had a discussion where both of you said you'd be open to bringing this guy back for next season.
Caveat to that, I did say if it was intern Dom.
It wasn't me.
Yeah, it was probably intern Dom. If it was simply to be a role player off a bench. Because
no,
I think that's
never.
Where his
I don't want a role player off the bench. This guy's out of control, Bob.
I don't disagree, but I'm saying at that context it was about because he was hitting really well at the time. He's a guy who plays a good left field. He could be useful off the bench to some team.
He stinks.
That's why a lot of teams thought they were going to trade. He was going to trade for him at the deadline, and no one ever did.
Under no circumstances do I want this guy back on this team. Under none. Never. Ever. And they should DFA him today and just let him go play for somebody else because from that comment about the Blue Jays, that's apparently what he wants to do anyway, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's Tommy Pham even saying he does not really want to be
him.
Here. And he said, go get me. He told Max Scherzer to tell the front office, go get me. No, there's no reason why he should be back. From June on, he's been a good player, but I don't want him
No, he hasn't.
Blocking.
He stinks in August limits. Stop telling lies.
June and July, he was good.
Yeah. He said since June. He stinks in August. He's hitting .196 with two extra base hits in all of August in 51 at-bats.
.196 makes Jack Sawinski and Alexander Canario look like...
No, if I have to watch Canario.
A-ball players.
What? How is Ben... Click the thing again. Give us another one. Bob, how is Ben Cherington still here? It's a miracle.
The fact that he is makes you wonder if he's still going to be here next year operating everything.
Did you see the lineup last night? Was Smoke and Ronnie Frazier in the lineup again? How many guys named Frazier is this guy going to fail on this year, Bob?
I don't know. I just think there's so many upgrades necessary. And then the one thing that's happened, and this could be the reason he's kept around, because Baseball America or whoever the minor league organization is just designated the Pirates as the second best minor league system, the second best in all of baseball. Now, the only way that can be true is if it's all lower
baseball end. Baseball America did that limits?
Yeah, second best farm system the
second
Pirates.
The only reason for that is because they stink every year in their draft picks. You tell me who
they're
top.
They just brought in all these guys for single A. The Grasshoppers are grassing everywhere. They're doing a great job.
How is that even possible? Who are their team? Go to Baseball America and read me their top eight prospects.
Well, yeah. It's because Griffin's won, and right. Griffin's won.
I could have drafted him.
Chandler's up there.
He's a top 15
But the point
guy,
is,
Hernandez.
The point is, it's misleading in that there has been no graduation from any offensive player in this minor league system.
It's a disaster. It's a disaster. And the only guys, I'm sure, who's the kid they drafted? Hernandez?
Yeah, Seth Hernandez.
And Connor Griffin, other top two. You and I could have drafted both those guys.
Well, not to mention Paul Skeens. On Connor Griffin.
All right, you and I and four others could have drafted Connor Griffin. The lineup last night was Spencer Horwitz, a non-power hitting first baseman, followed by Tommy Pham, 260 with six home runs. Brian Reynolds, he stinks. Nick Gonzalez, a bad field, somewhat hit second baseman. Andrew McCutchen, who's basically done. Jared Triolo, who's a horrible hitter. Canario, who stinks. Henry Davis, who's hitting 173. And Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, who, again, some people want to compare, you know, to the greatest utility men who ever lived. This dude has one home run. One home run. He hit 229 in July. He hit 220 in June. This team stinks, Bob. These lineups are an embarrassment. And how Ben Cherington still has a job is more improbable than the miracle on ice.
Yeah, well, that should end at the end of the season. And they should just do a redo, but do it much more seriously than they have in the past. Now, people will say, well, Ben Cherington won a World Series when it was Boston, but every other year his teams have finished in last place.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's a brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
So, you know, listen, you're judged. You had 6 years to prove that you can supply a minor league system. And this is why I bring this up. Because if the farm system is ranked number two, if you're Ben Cherington, when you talk to Bob Nutting, you can say, look where we are. We have Griffin coming. We have Chandler in the system. Jones is coming back. We're ranked number two. This farm system is about to really blossom and harvest some good players. And he'll use that as a selling point, I would imagine, because I would, if that were me, trying to save my job. But 6 years in, we have not seen any contributions at all from people down there on a regular basis, other than pitchers.
All right. Give me one more here, speaking of the Pirates. This idea, Jason Mackey wrote about it today. Prominent Pirates are making their voices heard. Let's hope Bob Nutting is listening. I have an answer to that, if it's a question. He's not. Paul Skeen spoke up a few weeks back. Saying things like, you know, hopefully these trades created space for us to acquire some bats. Didn't see a lot in terms of that at the deadline, but hopefully that sets us up next year. Very polite way of calling out ownership. Bob Nutting owns Paul Skeens for the next 4 years based on the Gerrit Cole example. That means in 2 years, they're going to start talking about trading him. He controls him for those years. 1 year's pre-arbitration, 3 years of arbitration. He controls him. What Paul Skeens says will have zero impact on anything the Pirates do. What Andrew McCutchen says will have less than zero. Andrew McCutchen is no longer an impactful bat in the Pirates lineup, and he doesn't really sell tickets either. Have you seen the ballpark lately? So anybody who thinks that Andrew McCutchen and Paul Skeens speaking up is going to get Bob Nutting to splurge in the offseason, you're out of your minds. To put it quite plainly, Now, McCutchen told, I believe it's Jose Negron of DK Pittsburgh Sports over the weekend in Chicago, you got to pay to win. It's not always the team that spends the least that makes the playoffs. Very rarely does that happen. We can't just take a shot in the dark and hope. We have to make a push. Mackey goes up to McCutchen, and he won't even repeat those words. I'm not talking about that. It is the best he can do now, McCutchen? I'm not talking about that. So Mackey rephrases the question, what must the organization do to improve and compete again? Next year, you're going to have to ask the GM on that, McCutchen said. I have no idea. I'm just here to play baseball. I don't know what we need. I said what I needed to say about that. Okay, fair enough. The thing with McCutchen, Bob, is that he seemed to create the scenario where he came here because he thought he could win here. Is that the case? Or he returned because he wasn't wanted elsewhere? And where exactly does he think he's going to get to pick and choose next year where he goes?
Yeah, I think he came back because his family's here, his wife's from here, and it was a good way to end his career. That's what I think he thought when he first came here. Did he think there had potentially could win? Well, with the pitching, you can convince yourself to thinking, yeah, they're on the fast track to doing that, or at least they should be competitive in a wild card. But then the organization totally did nothing to help the chances. So if he's frustrated, he should be frustrated. He's right to say what he said.
Skeens or McCutchen?
Both, but especially McCutchen.
Well, he's part of the problem, though.
Yeah, but he's still...
He's part of them
still,
not doing enough. He's their DH, and he doesn't hit enough.
I agree with
that. He doesn't even play the field.
The beginning of the year.
They should have cut ties after last season.
Yes,
I don't think the Andrew McCutchen of 8 years ago would have been in great position to speak about this, or 10 years ago. This Andrew McCutchen has no real clout.
He's still Andrew McCutchen. Because of it, he has clout. I think because of his
name. What right now, what is the significance of that? I realize going down the road, I love Kutch as much as the next person. He's going to be in the Hall of Honor. He's the most popular Pirate since Willie Stargell. But at this point in his career, Bob, what does that mean? It doesn't translate to tickets.
It means he probably cares about the organization and the direction it's headed because he's spent most of his time in this organization. And he's frustrated that he believes that and there's no action taken. There needs to be action taken. So I think that's a reasonable critique.
You know what action shouldn't be taken? Bringing him back as a DH.
I would agree with that because they have to upgrade on
everything.
Do you
think he agrees with that?
I don't know if he does or doesn't. Probably not.
I don't think he does.
But I mean, fine, bringing him back the first time, year two, whatever, he got over his 300 home runs, all of that stuff. Now it's about upgrading your team, and that includes having a DH that is really a DH who can hit 35 home runs. But you got to go out and get him because there's no one in their system who can provide that right now.
He has 11. In, 350 at-bats, something like that. He's hitting .239, and he's on pace for a career-worst
OPS. He's on base,
OPS.
Though, a lot. He does walk a lot, and he does...
But he can't run anymore,
as a DH,
so what good does that do you?
I want power. I do. I want power. I want somebody
I want
who
a good hitter.
The ball. Right.
I want a good hitter.
But they have to go out and spend it. You don't think they will, though.
Okay, it's your turn. Do you think that Skeens and McCutchen are going to impact Bob Nutting?
I think if Bob Nutting is true, if Greg always says he's really... He wants to win. If he wants to win... After
Greg Brown, you're saying?
Yeah, but he always, and that's fine. But this past season demonstrated that he wasn't
interested. I wanted to marry Jennifer Aniston, Bob. It didn't work out that way.
This past offseason indicated clearly that he had no intention of spending money, which tells me he's not interested in winning. This offseason, we'll see what happens. I think the pressure will mount on him to do a lot, and he should do a lot. If he has schemes, even for 2 years, Joe.
What pressure?
Years.
Pressure from who and where?
Well, he doesn't. Pressure doesn't get
he's
to him,
oblivious
apparently.
To pressure.
But I mean, if he is someone who wants to win, like a lot of people around there will tell you, show it.
Of course he wants to win. And he also cares about his legacy, as Dan Zangrilli said. We all do. I want to win.
Well, if he
but
cares
like
about
I
his
said,
legacy,
like
then
I
he
said,
should do more.
I wanted to marry Jennifer Aniston too. I didn't really do anything about it, and it was never going to happen. So he can want to win and care about his legacy all he wants until he prioritizes those things
right.
over the checkbook, then they're never going to win,
well,
probably.
That's what we're going to find out this offseason. That's what we're going to find out. If he's genuine to that belief.
Really? Are you waiting with suspense for this? You're waiting to find out? Because I already know.
If he doesn't do it.
Limits, can we end the segment with a Tommy Pham reading of I'll do some and you can do some, and then we'll get to, who do we have? Brian Batko?
Batko's coming up next,
The Batconian Mongoose at the top of the hour. Listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. 50-minute mark on The Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township, and a high of 89, sunny today. Yes, indeed, a high of Jericho Cotchery. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Brian Batko on all things Steelers. Who's on the bubble? Could there be a trade? What about Gabe Davis? We didn't even get to him in our six-pack. We're going to talk about all of that with the Mongoose. But first, Tommy Pham, after last night's episode, tweets today, or last night, I don't know. And for reference sake here, Keegan Matheson is apparently a writer in Toronto. Bitching about a ball not being called a strike to the umpire when it's clearly below the zone and away is disrespectful not only to the umpire, but the hitter as well. So like I said, when I flipped the bat, F him. Keegan Matheson, dude, has 2 years in the show. I know the zone. Ron Snow Mexico, tweets, bro, back at Fam. Bro, you are a B word. Fam tweets back, things you wouldn't say to my face for 1,000. Limits, give me the rest.
Somebody that calls themselves Hamburger says, you're 37, acting like this on a non-playoff Pirates team. Just retire and start a family already, Tommy Tough Knuckles. To which Tommy Pham responds, your profile pic is of someone who takes steroids, loser.
Bob, I'm not sure it gets better than this. Finally, a feel-good moment in this Pirate season.
And then, how about this? I'm sorry, Bob. John Boyd tweets out, here's the pitch in question. To which Tommy Pham adds Keegan Matheson, the Blue Jays reporter, and said, looks like he said something.
By the way, Bob, McCutchen is the guy who got completely ripped off at the plate last night. Did you see some of the strikes that were called on him?
Yep. They were
and
all
he
over
was
the place.
Steaming.
He should have been.
If that same thing happened to Tommy Pham, he might have lit the building on fire last night.
He's all
That's
wound
how angry
up,
he was.
Very, very tightly wound.
Some anger management, perhaps, for Tommy Pham? Limits?
Well, I mean, after this one, he might need it for Max Scherzer. The Sabres are killing me again, tweets. Mad Max is going to put one on you, bro. Better watch the hell out. To which Tommy Pham says, bleep, me and Max was chopping it up yesterday during BP. Actually, he told me the Jays asked about me during the deadline, and he told them, go get me.
I love that, Bob.
And they didn't.
So DFA the guy and let them have him. Let him go play somewhere else before. I mean, when you saw him steaming, Bob, I thought there was going to be another incident. He seems to be the type of guy that when the rage sets in, all bets are off, yes?
Oh, no question about it. He loses it out there. You can tell he had the look in his eye, even when he was at first base standing there. I thought something might even happen at that
moment. You ever seen a bat flip on a walk like that?
No, not like that. He hasn't had many opportunities to bat flip, though, so maybe he just wanted to get some out of his system.
Very good point. Just don't join a fantasy football league with him, Bob. A word of advice.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.